Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, this is Deuce, and on Wednesday I listen to GQ Palace Radio with the Diva Squad. Diva Squad. Diva Squad. Diva Squad.
This day, and I want to say I love chilling with the Diva Squad on Wednesday. Talking about I love them, love them, love. Shout out to the GQ Palace. It's Buddy Day.
This is Thaisa, and on Wednesdays I listen to the Diva Squad on GQ Palace Radio.
Hey, hey, it's Lavina. If you haven't heard, the best place to be is chilling with the Diva Squad on GQ Palace Radio. Love Fantasy is what it is.
Hey, hey, welcome to GQ Palace Radio. You are now on Love Fantasy with your Diva Squad. It's Butter, baby, baby, baby.
They was playing, so I hit my homegirls and told them I can't stay in. Try life, suck on me, that's how I see. Stepping out, down a rise, no supreme. See, it took about an hour just to fit it in these jeans, and I don't see no way in the future or the scene. So I bet you wishing that you had me back. A new mind frame now when they catch a track. So could you please holler at me when the cash is stacked? And I heard the new girl that you have is whack. I got that web, web, what is foul? What you hollering about? Money talk, keep quiet, baby, let your dollar shout. And I got what you want, bet I'm never running now. Checking in, that's sleeping the bands, I'm coming out like.
Now on live with your divas, Miss Mo Better and Storm in the building.
Yes, hey diva.
Ray Queen will be in the building shortly.
Hey,
bombs dropping.
I get
giddy this time of night. You know what I'm saying?
It's always a good thing.
Absolutely. First, I would like to say welcome to Love Fantasy, GQ Palace Radio. The number is 646-716-6970. Yeah. It took me a while to get used to that number, but I got it now.
I always dial the wrong number. I do 7960 instead of doing 6970.
Yeah, I think I dialed some other number. I was like, wait, that ain't it. You know. I would like to give a shout out to the Greenport Porters, man. They are making it to the Final Four for the New York State Class C Championship. So, shout out to the Greenport Porters. And for folks who don't know where Greenport is at the eastern end of Long Island. That's where it is, at the tip. You go past us, you're going to be in the water. And that's just how that goes.
Well, that's great.
Yes, on behalf of GQ Palace Radio and the Diva Squad, we'd like to offer our condolences for Craig Mack to the Mack family. He passed away the other day of congestive heart failure. From what I've read, it's that congestive heart failure. But then I'm reading all kind of other stories too, like, oh well, he was in some type of religion that wouldn't allow him to go to the doctor, and so
I read that.
That's crazy. I'm hoping that is so not true. I'm chalking it up that God was just ready for him. Because give the family some type of respect or something.
When I looked it up online, it did mention that actually. And then when I read further in it, it was just saying like he was actually like a really religious person. And his publicist or his producer, they pretty much said that he was okay. Like he had accepted that, you know, I'm ready. Like whenever he calls me home, I'm ready, I'm prepared, you know. And I don't know, I guess I always just wonder, like, wow, like to prepare yourself knowing that something is going to happen to me, I believe is more scared than not knowing, you know. Like I think I would rather not know something's going to happen and then just let it happen versus me preparing myself waiting for it to happen, you know, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah,
so
no,
definitely,
I
you know, rest in peace to him, you know. I was
yes.
Wow. 46 years old?
Yeah, just
that's young.
Young,
but that's young.
That's young. That's young.
Yeah, that's
you know,
young.
You know, when people are saying to me, like, you know, my mom, she just passed away in January.
Mm-hmm.
And she's 64 years old. People are like, oh, that's young. I said, believe me, there's people younger.
Yes.
You know, than that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, 46 years old, it's not old. That's about my age almost. You know what I mean? So it's like,
right.
See, my thing is to my people, because, you know, we have a lot of our people that just don't go to the doctor because, like you said, afraid of what's going to be told to them, you know?
Right. They're not knowing, you know, like, okay, yeah.
Yep. You know, don't be afraid. An ounce of prevention is worth more than a pound of cure.
You know what? You're so right. You know, but you have those people, and I say those people, and I'm gonna include myself in that. Okay, and forgive me when I say it. Sometimes I feel like we're like human guinea pigs. You know, like, and we're like, yes, you know, we have our fingers and toes, and you know, we're able to talk. But I feel like sometimes when the doctors don't really know, it's like process of elimination. You know, like when I was going through something, it was like, oh, okay, well, it could be this or it could be this. Or take four different tests to see, oh, wow, it's not this, it's not this, or maybe it's this. I'm not sure if it's this. To me, I feel like we're like human guinea pigs sometimes, and I understand why some people don't. You know, I'm not, of course, saying don't go to the doctor, of course. You know, I'm saying go, but just have an open mind when you go. Because me, sometimes, I don't have an open mind when I go for myself. But when I go, you know, for my husband, I have an open mind and I want to understand, you know. But when I go for myself, I'm like, you are not about to pick and poke me and make me seem like I'm a guinea pig because you don't know what's really wrong with me. Just tell me you don't know, and we're going to do process of elimination. Like, I'm one of those people.
Well,
you
see,
know,
this is where you got to, this is where it comes in, where you got to know yourself. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I know how I'm feeling. You're not going to say something different because you want to experiment on some new drugs or medicine or something that y'all receive, you know, kind of good stuff like that, you know, because you do, you get that, you know. I believe that's what took my mom out of here, you know, a doctor being, you know, experimental and not doing his job. So, I mean, I get what you're saying, too, why a lot of people really don't, you know, really want to go to the doctor. But, again, we still can't let that hold us back.
You still eventually have to go. And like I said, that's why I said, I'm not saying don't go. I'm just saying go, but have an open mind when you go. See, me, I'm going with an open mind, and I'm ready to talk. See, because I know what I feel. I know how long I've been feeling the way I feel. I know what's different in my body, and I know what's going on. I just can't diagnose it. And you know, if I'm going to the doctor, that just means that Google Medicine and all the doctors and nurses I work with, they can't really tell me definite, or I need me a prescription that I can't get, you know, by myself. So that's the only time I'm going to go to the doctor. Because otherwise, in my head, I feel like I'm a nurse. You know, I'm a nurse, I'm a doctor, I can diagnose myself, but it's sometimes those, you know, like, I don't like to go to the doctor, like I said, because, you know, if I have a cold, something I just can't get rid of, and I need, like, an antibiotic or something, you know, that's one thing. But when it comes down to, like, all right, you know, with swollen feet and swollen ankles and stuff like that, like, I'm going to you because you know for sure. But if you can't tell me for sure, that's making me feel uncomfortable because now that lets me know, you know. And I never forget it, not to make it about myself, but I never forget the one post doctor said to me, it's common in African-American women, and I blew a gasket.
Wow.
Like, I literally blew a gasket. It's common in African-American women that they have swollen feet and swollen ankles. And I wanted to know how many patients did she have that was African-American?
Well, exactly. Yeah.
How did you come up
with those numbers?
Exactly. Like, I want to know what your statistics are based on your facility that you are in right now and the amount of patients, black African-American patients that you've seen. Like, I tried to hit her with that. And then after I went and had four different tests and she still couldn't tell me, I said, you know what, this is just not meant for me to be at this doctor's office with this doctor right here. Because she had already rubbed me the wrong way with that one statement. And I feel like for the elderly, for people who don't really understand the medical terms and don't really ask the questions, it's probably 10 times worse. You know what I'm saying? Because if you're not there asking the questions or you don't really understand what they're saying, then you have really no knowledge of what they're telling you. But they think you understand, even though they're using those fancy big old words.
Right. It's crazy, you know, because everything is made to be about money, you know. So that's why a lot of times they be like, well, we're going to milk this one. We're going to milk this one. We can get us a few dollars out of this. You know what I mean? So it's a travesty.
Right. Or what's their insurance? You know?
Right.
What's their insurance? What's their insurance is a big thing, you know. What kind of insurance do you have? You know, do you have Medicaid? Do you have Medicare? You know, what kind of insurance? Because this way I know where I can send you based on your insurance, but that also lets me know how many times I can see you in my office. You know, what medicines can I give you? You know, it's such a tricky situation, you know, when it comes down to doctors and stuff. And I just hope and pray that you know, for the elderly, because, you know, we can speak for ourselves. So I hope and pray for the elderly that mm-hmm. when they go, they have someone with them, that this way that person can ask the questions. You know,
right.
what are the side effects? Will that medication interfere with the rest of my medication that I'm taking? You know, like,
right.
ask those type of questions, so this way everyone's on the same page with it, you know.
Right, right. Yep,
it's
absolutely.
Scary, you know. It is scary. You know.
It is scary because now I have my life in your hands, you
right.
know. And how can I trust you? You know what I mean? Like, really. You know, and like you said, that's why a lot of people don't go to the doctor.
Right, you know, and they look for the, what is it, the spiritual healing, or they try and do the healing themselves, you know. Mm-hmm. I just had a brain fart, and I forgot exactly what it was called, but
that's home remedy.
The holistic remedies of it, where, like, you know, you try and do everything natural, you know, the natural things. You don't want anything that, you know, it's all these different chemicals and everything that's in it, you know. So people try all those things first, but my thing is that if you're trying that and it still don't work, I'm sorry, I'm gonna need a prescription or something. Like,
right,
give me something stronger that I can't give, you know, that I can't get myself.
Right.
You know, so it's sad, but, you know, we're definitely, you know, praying for, you know, the elderly, and, you know, praying for, you know, Craig Mack's family as well, you know. And on a different note, happy Pi Day to all the math heads, you know, Pi 3.14, you know. I said that earlier in... Wait, everyone was like, what? I'm like, geometry? Pi, you know?
right. Your pie,
yeah, happy Pi Day to all the math heads out there. You know, definitely enjoy, you know,
and
your
you
day.
You know what's amazing? You know what's amazing, Storm? Because they were just talking about the smartest man in the world just passed away, too, yesterday.
Wow.
So, yeah, the smartest man in the world who actually lived, his body was really no good. He lived with a machine. So the machine, like, spoke for him and everything, you know. And he ended up passing away yesterday.
Wow. That's terrible.
They were just talking about that. So, you know, but again, people, try to take care of yourself. You know, my mom used to tell us what my great-grandmother used to tell her, like, take care of yourself while you're young and you'll live to get old. So,
you know.
Aww. Get yourself checked out. That's all. So, but
I'm gonna hit you with the absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So, I don't know if you know. I'm sure everybody's been paying attention to like the news stations and different things like that.
Yeah.
Here today was National Walkout Day for children, for the students.
Right.
I mean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so students across the country walked out of the school. They were allowed to. They didn't just get up and, like, oh, we're storming out of the school. No, they were allowed to stage walkouts today in lieu of, you know, shootings.
Gun violence.
And stuff like that, gun violence and things like that. So I applaud these students for standing up because, again, who wants to go to school and not know if you're going to return home? And
Right. Now
this is at a national level now. So what's going to happen now, they're going to do a Washington protest as well, where they're supposed to have, you know, schools are supposed to get buses and stuff for the children to go down to D.C. and also protest there.
Exactly.
I applaud them, and I pray that their voices are heard, because this now it's getting out of hand now. It's getting out of
mm-hmm.
hand because
mm-hmm.
these rich folks that is controlling all of these companies and stuff like that want to have sole control. Like, you know, come on, y'all, you talking about people's lives, and you're so, their egos are so on high till they're like, well, we're not doing anything. We're not giving up our company. We're not giving up our rights. We have rights. We, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm. right. And it's And you know what? And it's so unfortunate. I know, like, our school, I know what they did. What they did today was, like, they, instead of, like, walking out, they actually did, like, an activity day of different activities and stuff that they were doing. Just by teaching them as far as, okay, if you are in an emergency situation at the school, what are you going to do? You know, they did, like, activities and stuff like that. So this way they would know, okay, well, if you hear or if the school's on shutdown, you know, you don't want to be the person that's like, oh, I can make it. You know, I think I can make it out the door to get out the school. You don't want to be that person because you don't know where that gunman is at that point in time. And you don't know how many people, you know, is there. So, like, they wanted to, like, teach them as far as, like, safety tactics of what to do, where should you hide, barricading the doors, you know, stuff
that's
like
awesome.
That.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Just to keep them, you know, just to keep them safe.
Yeah.
And I'm all for the protesting of the walking out, but I was happy that our school did it because it actually taught them what to do in case of emergency, you know.
Right.
And that I believe that they do need to know in case of emergency, what do you do? What, you know, where should
yes.
you hide? Who's going
right.
to barricade what, you know, against the door? You know, who's going to make sure that everyone is in a remote location or something like that? You know, so I felt like that was very important. You know, I do, you know, respect the fact that they're walking out as well. And it's unfortunate to have to get to this point as far as walking out. I feel like
right.
our president is not doing enough. You know, with it to me. I feel like the governor is not doing enough. I blame a lot of the higher up people who have the control that helps determine at what age and what state, you know, where you can go to purchase your gun and it be legal, you know. Or
and right. And
there's
what kind of
no
background
checks. Nope.
Yeah.
Get out
yeah,
my hair.
Like,
we said the same thing.
Yeah, same girl. Listen, because if now they want to get the heat off them, they want to claim that he had some kind of mental stuff going on. If y'all knew this, if y'all knew he had some kind of mental thing going on, how was he able to purchase a gun? Either way, it still falls on your lap. So let's get rid of that. We're not getting ready to go there with that. Please
right.
don't get me started on our president. He turned this country into a reality show is what he did.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
The country's in a reality show. And his supporters, listen, loyalty don't always mean honesty. I'm sorry. Whoever's
right.
listening, loyalty doesn't always mean honesty. You're loyal to them, so if he lie, you're going to lie with him. You know, you understand what I'm saying?
Right.
That's where the difference is. So
mm-hmm.
he's not really caring about people's lives. All he's really caring about is his status and
right.
his money. And I don't understand how people don't see that.
Right. And what he's going to do next, what's his next move, not necessarily what's best for the country, but what's his next move, you know, his next power move. And to me, I feel like, I don't know, maybe I just feel like having a celebrity actually be president wasn't the smartest move that people could make. And I feel like they should have thought it, certain people should have thought about it more clearer to be able
right.
to have that understanding that, You have no background. Your business is flop. You don't pay taxes. It's like I thought it's supposed to be lead by example.
Right.
What
right.
example
right.
are you teaching us? Except for you're showing us that if we don't pay our taxes, they're gonna garnish our paycheck or take our income tax. You
with
know,
the quickness.
If,
with the
you
quickness.
Know, but for you, they're not doing that for you. So I'm a little confused.
Right.
You know,
how is he allowed to get away with it and I'm not?
Right, you know, and the income is different. So you wanna take someone's taxes that might make like $30,000, $40,000 a year, but someone that's making a couple hundred thousand or a couple million, you're not taking theirs? I don't know.
Yeah,
that don't really make sense to me.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense to me either. I'm still trying to find the logic in that too. But anybody
right.
that's listening, if you have the answer to that, can you please enlighten me? Because I don't see where that's logical. You know, us little Joe Blows, you know, what they call us, Joe the Plumbers. Us Joe the Plumbers, we at the bottom of the food chain, and we still have to do what's necessary. And the
right.
ones with all the money and everything don't. That just makes no sense. And that just goes to show you how this country is built on money, period. And here y'all, they are, excuse my French, but bitching about the national anthem.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Man,
did you see this thing that was online, and they were saying that Now they actually want to cut some of the funding for college for the kids.
Oh, I was reading it.
Originally they were saying that, you know, oh, you can, if you make less than $100,000, you have to live, you know, in the state of which you applied and went to school with for 5 years after you graduate or whatever the case may be. But mm-hmm. now they're actually looking to cut some of that funding for that.
Yep.
So you said you were going to do it. Obviously the bill was written or whatever it was written that said you were going to do it. But no one ever took initiative to, I guess, endorse it. Because at this point, how are you able to say, yes, we're going to do it, but in the same breath, 6 months later, say, you know what, we're going to cut some of that funding.
Because he was selling himself. He was selling himself. That's what he was doing. I don't know who was writing the stuff for him, but he sold his way. Well, we know they put him in there. They put him in the beginning.
Yeah.
Now you're making all these promises and you're doing the total opposite. You understand? And me as a college student's parent, now we get stuck with all these loans and things like that because you went back on your promise.
You reneged on what your
alleged promise is.
Right.
But again,
now,
folks, you are on Live with the Diva Squad. The number is 616-716-6970. Come on live and you can speak about whatever we're talking about tonight. Yeah.
Yep, and the lines lines are definitely lit up, you know.
Yes, and when we get into the talk about politics, I'll sit here and start rocking like I'm Rain Man. Rain Man, child, listen.
Oh, well, you know what, Diva, real fast, I'm sorry, I completely forgot. I wanted to say happy birthday to my cousin Reggie. Reggie, happy birthday. We are not going to be able to make it this weekend, but, you know, happy birthday to you. You know, he's the dancing king for the family.
Okay.
You know, he's always
happy birthday, Reggie.
You know, I did forget to mention that. But then on a different note, Diva, I wanted to ask you and anyone that's listening as well, how old is too young to be able to take part in the walkout today, do you feel?
At what age is too young?
Yeah, at what age is too young do you believe that it's too young for them to participate in the walkout today?
Well, now see, this goes on to the teachers now. I'm going to nix the age for a second because how many teachers are actually speaking to their students about that? I don't think there's really a too young of age. Well, I mean, I would say like first grade on up should be able to participate, you know.
Okay.
But instead of the walkout, like you said, your school did an activity for the younger kids. If an emergency, guys, this is what we do. You know, you have to deal with them on their level. And I think activities with the younger kids will, I'm sorry, for lack of a better word. I caught a brain freeze.
Okay. It'll help them with the evacuation process.
Yeah, it'll get them in the same realm on their level. So, like you said, we're going to set up the classroom. Now, as if it was an emergency, you know, like, okay, if the bad guy, everybody teaches their kids about stranger danger. Okay, stranger danger, stranger danger. Well, if a stranger comes, you run that way. You know what I mean? So they're not going to really understand the caliber of somebody coming into school with a gun. You know what I mean? All they're going to hear is people screaming, yelling, and different things like that. And you teach the younger kids. Maybe up to the second grade, you teach those younger kids, all right, stranger danger, you run here when this happens. You know what I mean?
Right.
And stuff like that. But as far as like the third grade on up, they can participate in the walkout.
Good.
You know,
Diva, just hold on 1 second. We do have our call, our first caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello, Diva. Hi.
How y'all is?
Good. How are you?
I can't complain. It ain't going to do no good no way.
Well, it might do some good. It might do some good. You never know. You never know. Sometimes you get it
off
your chest.
Well, I ain't
going to
complain
because
I ain't got none.
That sounds much, much better. Much better.
So what's going on?
Oh, nothing deep. It's just, you know, of course, just chopping it up, talking about, I don't know if you're aware of, like, a lot of the schools across the country, they did a walkout today.
Yes.
So we were pretty much just talking about the walkout, you know, and talking about how, in the same breath, you know, just talking about what took place at the walkout for us, you know, for our school. I don't know about everyone else's. You know, we were just saying, like, for my school, they actually did, like, activities of what to do in case of a situation like that. What would you do as far as, like, barricading the doors and, you know, hiding and going to a remote location. Like, they did stuff like that where, like, some other schools actually did walk out, you know, where you actually walked out and you protest.
Yeah,
you know,
I've
with the sign,
like,
you know, pretty much just, like, getting people to know that, you know, we're against it, you know.
So, I mean, honestly, actually, it's scary. You know, when you got your kids going to school, you thinking that they're safe. But in all reality, not just school, you're not safe anywhere anymore. Anywhere. You know, and it kind of bothers me, you know, that, you know, like New York, Philly, places like that.
Mm-hmm.
These kids are like, you never know. When, I mean, because it's not just the teenagers, it's younger kids taking guns to school, too. They don't know which direction, you know. You don't know what they're going through at home. And I'm actually glad y'all on that topic because I actually had a question to ask, like, you know, what would you, can if I may.
Mm-hmm. Sure, go ahead.
Okay. What would you do if a kid 9 or 10 came up to you and say, you know, I'm so tired of what's going on in my home. Like, I just don't want to live anymore. What would you say to that? What do you say to that kid?
Oh, God.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, Angie, do you want to go first? Let me go first.
I'll go. Well, you first of all, you keep that kid in your presence. Until you can find out. You keep him in your presence until you can actually get to speak to somebody who's in his realm, who's from his home, his or her home, or whatever. And, you know, a lot of times you have to be very, very selective of what you say to people's children, to somebody else's child, because you don't really know what's going on in their home. But you keep that child around you as long as you can until you can get in contact with somebody from his home. Even if you have to call another authority, like the Child Protective Services or something, too. But, you know, you keep that child in your realm. You know, keep them in your presence until somebody else is contacted. Don't let them go and act like the conversation never happened. Because if they came to you, they want some type of help.
Okay, not cutting you off, Diva, but what if that child is, the problems is at home, and they're scared to reach out or feel like they'll get in trouble if they say anything to their parent?
Well, first and foremost, if you need to call Child Protective Services, then that's what you'll have to do because you don't want to let this child and he's going to hurt himself.
Hey,
oh, nothing but paying these bills. How's it going, Diva? Pardon me for being late.
It's all right. You know, it's all right. We were actually just talking about, T had a question. You know, we are talking about, you know, the usual, as you know, what we discussed, you know, earlier as far as, like, the walkouts in school, you know, and what they were doing as far as what the walkout was, explaining it, what took place. But then T called in, and she actually had a really good question that kind of went hand-in-hand with the topic as well. T, I don't know if you want to repeat your question again to Ray.
Yeah, I will. Ray Queen, what would you say or do with a child that's maybe like 9 or 10 saying that, you know, they want to just do away with themselves, but they're scared to even say anything to their parent? They don't want you to say anything. What do you do in that matter?
Oh, wow. Myself, I know I'm taking it right to God. Everybody knows how strong my faith and my belief in God is.
Yeah.
I'm taking it right to God because it's a shocker to me. However, I'm gonna definitely make that child feel as comfortable as they can.
Mm-hmm.
I would wanna go to the parents, but I'd definitely have a talk with that child to try to feel the child out, see where the child is coming from and why, and
mm-hmm.
you know what's going on. We definitely
right,
have
right.
to do some, you know, an intervention. We can't just, you know, let it go without doing something about it. You can't ignore something
right.
like that. You've got to do something.
Right.
It's deep.
All right.
So
it's deep.
Yeah.
And see, my theory to it, and you know, with the field that I'm in, I'll explain how it's twofold. You know,
okay.
Twofold. You know, to me, I believe is because if it's someone that you know, your response would be different. You know, like say if it was a kid that I knew that
right.
came and confided in me about the situation, you know, of course, you know, you want to take a minute and just pray about it because you got shocking news. You know, that's the first response. You know, for any person that's, you know, like, is definitely into prayer and stuff, you want to take a minute, you want to pray about whatever situation, like a quick prayer, you know, to yourself. Like, because, you know, like, oh,
right.
my God, like, I'm thankful that the kid came and confided in me instead of just doing it. You know, I'm thankful I was able to be around when he or she came to me and mentioned it. But you also want to pray about what you're going to say about it, you know, because
for me,
as far as a kid coming to me, I would definitely, right off the bat, you know, of course, you know, I'm a mandated reporter, you know, but I don't believe in reporting it like that. I believe in, okay,
right.
if it's the kid feels some kind of way because of mom and dad or mom or dad, I'm going to go to the opposite parent, you know. If the kid feels some kind of way about dad, then I'm definitely going to pull mom's coattail to see exactly how mom feels about it and just let mom know that I know, you know, that I know the situation.
Right.
I know what the kid has said to me, and maybe if there's anything that we can do as far as maybe getting the kid some type of help, taking him from the home at least for like a day or two until things calm down and he or she is able to think clearly, you know,
right.
not take them to CPS, ACS, or whatever, but
exactly.
just remove them so that they're able to clear their head and be able to think clearly, because you don't want to let them go, and then they might go home, and God forbid something might happen, you know. So
exactly.
from that standpoint, I'm going to go to one of the parents. I'm going to discuss it with one of the parents and then hopefully discuss it with both the parents by the end of the night, because I'm not going to leave until I feel comfortable in my heart that everything has been at least a little bit resolved, or they know at least how the kid feels, you know.
Right,
that initial
right.
shock of a kid saying, I don't want to live anymore, you know, that's a wake-up call
it,
to anybody.
Deep.
So
it
I
is.
Feel like they
that's
should,
crazy.
You know, definitely pay
and
attention, you know,
age.
To that part,
true.
You know. Now,
exactly.
on the other end of it, because of the field that I'm in, I do see it all the time. You know,
okay.
I do deal with it all the time. And when I tell you all the time, if not every day, every couple of days, it's something similar to that, whether it's a problem at the home with the parents or the one parent or two parents don't pay them that much attention. There's abuse at the home, you know, where the kid might have got a spanking that was a real, real spanking that did hurt, and it hurt the kid's pride and the kid feels some kind of way. The kids being bullied in school confide in the parents and the parents don't want to believe what they're saying. Or for me, sometimes we deal with the kids that come, the females come like, all right, I was just molested by my mom's boyfriend. I told my mom and she kicked me out,
wow.
but the boyfriend's still there, you know, so I don't want to live anymore. You know, so it's a lot of different ways that you can go with it, but dealing with the field that I'm in, their initial response that they do is they take the kid to a social worker or they take the kid to a counselor that's in the school. And then after that, they call ACS, they call the parents. And then they do remove the kid from the parents' house. They take the kid to, for us in Long Island, it's called CPAP, which is Stony Brook. They take them there for like a 24-hour evaluation. And at the same time, the parents are technically evaluated without them really realizing that they are evaluated, because they're being, you know, counseled. They're given, like, therapy right off the bat of this is what was said, this is how the kids feel, this is what their plan is, you know. So they do that for us in Long Island. I don't know about any other place, but I know for Long Island and some of, like, New York City schools is similar to the same way. The first thing they're going to do is talk to the counselor, the guidance counselor, social worker. But then they're also going to call APS, and they're going to call the parents. They are going to have the kid evaluated at some type of psych facility or emergency room facility for 24 hours and keep them on a watch, because you don't know how serious it could be, you know. So
exactly.
If you know,
again,
if you know the kid.
At such a young age.
Yeah. If you know the kid, my advice for you would be you want to talk to the kid. You want to get the parent involved. You don't want to be the savior by yourself, because if you don't live with that person, honey, you can't save them 24/7, because somebody could say something, one of the parents could say something or do something, and then next thing you know, that kid could be gone tomorrow. You know,
right.
So you want to make sure, you know, because a lot of kids, if you know, some of you guys watch the news, these kids are being bullied in school and they're committing suicide at like age like 9, 10 years old.
Yeah, exactly. That's
so
why I
take
said,
it serious,
you know, I wanted to get y'all feedback as well. Like, you know, and I also realized that you work in that field. And if it's not a problem, if you could call me after the show, it'd be very much appreciated.
Okay. You know,
you
call me, girl.
Because, like I said, you know, when it was brought to me, I'm like, oh, my God, like, And then you're scared to say anything to either parent because you're scared that you're going to get disciplined because you feel that way.
Right.
Right. That's not good. Like,
and
oh, my God, where do I tear?
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, this happens too often with our kids, today's kids. And we have to be there for them. We have to be there for them. It can't go ignored.
And even if you feel like you can't speak to the kids' parents, you know, about the situation, my advice would be keep the lines of communication open with the kids, you know.
Right. Let them know that they have a friend in you,
know,
that they can confide in you.
You know, that's important, you know, that if you're, like, you know, sometimes we do a pinky promise, you know, we promise that we're not going to say anything, but please talk to me and tell me what's wrong. You know, find the positive at some point in time or in some piece of the kid's life. Find one piece of positive and let that kid know that when you feel that negative thought, think of that positive thing, that one positive thing that can give you hope. You want to think about that, and you hold on to that no matter what. It's kind of like when people say, oh, I'm not going to let you steal my joy. That one piece of positive is that kid's joy, and you want to make sure they hold on to that. And when they feel like I don't want to be here anymore, if you're into the word, you want to pray with that kid. If you're not into the word, then you know what? What you want to say is, listen, think of all the good things and point out the good things and give that kid some sense of hope, because right now he or she doesn't feel that hope. They feel nothing but negative. So you want to find some hope, you know, if that makes sense to you guys. Like, you know,
it does. It makes a lot of sense.
You know, thinking about it, but it's so common. Well, like, you guys really, like, when I tell you, it's so common to where, like, these kids don't want to live anymore for whatever the reason is. They don't want to be here. Like, they voice it, and people say, oh, you know, it's for attention. You know, some of it is. Some of it is for attention.
But some of them are really seeking that. Just that love.
Exactly.
Or whatever.
Exactly.
You
and
know,
and who determines that? You know, like, who determines if it's attention or not? Me, I'm not going to take my chances. I'm going to treat it as a situation of life or death, is how I'm going to treat it. I'm not going to treat it as you're doing it for attention, because you never know.
Right.
You know, that person might call your
mom,
you know?
You're absolutely correct. You know, and you never ever know what's actually going on behind those closed doors. If you're not around,
that's true.
You know, you really don't. And like I said, especially if a kid has already have problems of feeling neglected or unloved, it's even worse. Like, wow.
Well, that's why they need somebody
that's going to be there outside of their normal realm to let them know, like, listen, I'm here for you. I'm here.
Right.
Give them your phone number. And it's like, listen, call me any time of day or night. You know, if you're having
a
problem, if there's something going on, you pick up that phone and you call me. No, if there's something that serious, you call the damn police.
So there you go. There you go. There you go.
Yep.
There you go. You know, but like I said, you know, when it came to my attention and the kid said it to me, like, I really just embraced this kid, like, no way, like, and it like really bothered me, and they were like, please don't say anything to my parents.
Right.
Yeah,
because I'll get disciplined because I said this the way I feel.
The fear is what keeps them from telling people, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're probably being threatened and all kinds of other stuff. You know what I mean? So,
right.
of course they're going to say that. Please don't say it was my parents. You know, like you said, you don't really know what's going on behind closed doors. So you have to make this child feel comfortable enough to tell you, like, okay, this is what's happening. Like, here, store my phone number somewhere, hide it somewhere, and, you know, and call me whenever you need me.
Yeah. Okay.
And that works, but the only problem with that is that you're not always available. You know, like,
thank you.
Realistically,
you're not always
like
in that situation with them.
And what ends up happening is, and I mean, like, even if you feel like you can't give the kid the help that the kid needs 100%, then you do need to speak to someone else about it, someone that's closer to the kid. So this way that kid does have an outlet, because what happens is if the kid confides in you and says, this is how I'm feeling, your question should be, okay, do you have a plan? Do you have something that you plan on doing? You know, like, you want to know how serious it is. 9 times out of 10, if it's serious, the kid knows, this is what I'm going to do because I don't want to be here no more. You know, you want to ask that question to see if the kid is actually just overwhelmed with emotions for that day or a couple days, or has that kid actually tried to figure out what they can do to take their life? You want to figure that out because... And that's all in your questioning for the kid. Okay, well, you know, all right, I understand you feel that way, but, you know, do you feel like you have a plan, or are you just upset today? Like, you know, what makes you feel that way, or what happened that you feel that way? It's like you want to go into that mother instinct, that mother mode of comfort. And, right, you need to know as much details as possible, and then once you get that information, then you know what your next step is going to be. Because if that kid tells you, I don't want to be here anymore, I'm going to do what I have to do, you know, in their detail to be able to tell you what they want to do. The average kid, if they want to do it, they're going to tell you. They might not tell you how, but they're going to tell you, I'm tired of living this life, I don't want to be here anymore. And if it's something that's a problem at home, the parents are so into their own emotions and feelings, they don't even have a clue about what's going on.
Exactly.
They don't have
I'm
a clue.
I'm sorry to take y'all off y'all topics, Diva, but
It's important. It's a great topic. It's something that we need to talk about more. We can go on and on and on about the topic.
Yeah.
It's definitely an awesome topic.
Now
I might not have been as into it if it didn't come to me personally, you know, like,
right.
Why am I feeling like this?
Yeah,
like
it's
really scary.
For Ray Queen and Miss Mobetta, my question for you guys is: with you guys having boys and raising boys from babies until now, what would you do?
Ray, you want to go first?
if it was my boy that came to me,
or if it was a boy that you knew, or if it was your son, what would you do?
Well, I would definitely first and foremost take it to God, and then I'd have to I'd have to offer him, you know, a couple of different options. Ask him, honey, what do you want me to do? Is there anything you are requesting of me to do so that I can help you? Because mm-hmm. I can't make this go away. I myself cannot make this go away. I can be here for you as your mother. I can hold your hand. I can pray with you. I can, you know, hug you. I can talk to you. However, honey, I cannot make this go away. But we together can do what we need to do and ask my son, should we go speak to a counselor? Should we go to the hospital? Do you want to go talk to maybe this person? You know, I'm going to give him options.
Give him options.
Give options, definitely. Be there for him. It's a tough place to be.
Yes, but listen, me personally, I'd have to let my son know that I am there for him regardless of whatever. There's nothing that he can't come to me and say. You know, like, listen, son. And not only that, again, I taught my son's humility first. You understand? We didn't separate the sexes and different things like that, because that stuff makes a difference. Like, oh, well, she's not a man, or he's not a woman, and different things like that.
Mm-hmm.
We teach them humility and different things like that. And we give examples of how people will do, good, bad, or indifferent. I gave my son examples of things and how people will do you. So I just, you know, made it comfortable for him. You can come to me and talk to me about anything. I'm here.
Exactly.
Yeah, I figured we would just give you, like, different perspectives to see, like, how you, you know, like, this way it helps you, you know, within all the answers that we're all, you know, giving you, you know, I'm sure you'll find comfort, at least, you know, in a couple of them, to be able to help you when you put your, you know, your stuff together of your approach, you know, your plan of attack. You know, it makes sense to be able to, you know, take a little bit from everybody and be able to say, you know what, okay, this is what I think that I should do. You know, because we give you our opinions, you know, and it's ultimately whatever you decide to do for yourself. But just to, you know, shout out the deepest, you know, they definitely have very good ideas, very good opinions, and, you know, all of them are all right. There's no right or wrong answer. You know, all the answers are
true, Dad.
Good answers, you know, and it's facts, and it's all facts. You know, it's what we
absolutely.
Do.
Absolutely. And you know what you it know, is, Storm? You know what, Storm? A lot of people have different experience, you know. So this is why also it's not a right or wrong answer. My experience may have been a different from the next. You know,
right? Of course.
You know, so that way it opens it up for people to let them know this is not just some one-sided thing. This is not just happening to you. This happens all over the world to a lot of different people.
It does.
You know,
and every day.
And like T was saying, a lot of people are afraid to speak out when they're having issues like that going on. People are afraid. So,
you know, people are afraid and people are in denial, you know.
In denial as well, absolutely.
You know, there's a lot of parents out there that are actually in denial with the fact that their kids might need some help, you know.
Their
kids might need, you know, someone to talk to that's not involved, you know. And, you know, just for the parents, you know, that are listening, you know, you always want to make sure that your kids are good. You know, you want to, you know, like Miss Nobetta and, you know, Miss Ray Queen was saying pretty much, you always want to make sure that, you know, you leave that line of communication open at all times. So this way they feel comfortable enough to be able to come to you to open up and say something. Don't make them fear you to the point of they don't want to tell you because they're afraid that you might get upset or you might not understand.
Exactly.
You know, you want to keep that open. So this way they're able to voice their opinion to you and come to you and say, you know what, I'm feeling some kind of way. And I think a lot of this stuff that we're talking about now, it ultimately affects a lot of kids, you know, because there's a lot of kids out there who do commit suicide that's less than the age of 10, you know. There's a lot of kids out there that do it and that succeed in doing it, you know.
Right.
So people want to make sure that they pay attention to that.
Attention,
like it's alive,
mind.
It's well, it's happening. And I'm going to just share one thing with you. It's even happening so much that some of these kids are meeting other kids who have similar situations, and they're making a pact to do it together. That's
yeah.
how
wow.
that
exactly.
Wow.
That, exactly.
And that kid's not saying, oh, you know what? Let me get you some help. That kid's saying, I feel the same way. Maybe we should do it together.
Yeah, mm-hmm. let's do this.
Mm-hmm.
Misery loves company,
and now,
they say.
And
so
now
I'm
that there's
saying,
social media, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Now that social media plays a part in it, you know, everybody wants their moment of fame. And you know what, Sean?
Right.
That goes back to our show when we did the show on good and bad parenting.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
You have a lot of people out there that have children that do not know how to be parents.
That's
exactly.
right.
Well, you better preach. You better preach.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know,
so,
and,
you know,
and like I said,
the trickle down theory happens then.
Mm-hmm.
You really
so.
Don't know at the end of the day, like, where that child's head is. You know, you could be working with somebody that, a kid that's, you know, ADHD or mentally challenged, or that other kid, his other peers could be telling him, you know what, let's just run away together, or let's just do
right.
this, like you said, let's do it together. Then that way, maybe they'll open up their eyes, but it may be too late then to open up your eyes to actually see what's going on.
That's what I'm saying.
No,
people, make sure that
if you constantly, like, just shine this kid off, boy, go on with that. Oh, girl, go on with that mess. Like,
yeah,
you don't know what that kid
that.
Is really going through.
It. Oh, I've been out
right.
all night. I don't feel like talking to you now. Get out of my face.
Right.
Go in there
exactly.
and get the kids something to eat. You understand
you know,
what I'm saying? They're shifting,
you know
they're shifting their responsibility onto the children. So,
right.
You know,
well, you know,
I've seen it
what
happen.
Does happen. You know, what happens as well is, you know, the kids spend so much time in their room. You know, they spend so much
yes.
time, you know, time in their room on their phone, on social media and stuff, where the parents don't have a clue of what's going on. So they can't
that's
begin to tell
yep.
you, wow, if
that's
there's
a
change in a kid's behavior, or when you're in the car ride, you're not really having a conversation because you're doing your own thing on your phone, your kid's doing
mm-hmm.
their own thing on their phone,
mm-hmm.
and you're not really communicating with them to see. And I know me as a parent, I always try to keep the lines of communication open, where there's like a no judgment zone here. You know, like, whenever
right.
you want to come talk to me, I want you to talk to me, but I'm going to do my check-ins with you. I'm going to do my check-ins and check the phones. Like, I do all that stuff periodically to make sure that I'm on top of what's being said and what's being done.
Exactly.
And I want to be that person that you come to and you communicate with. And a lot of kids nowadays, they don't have that. You know, they don't have that communication where the parents actually take the time to say, hey, how was school today? You know, how was class?
Right.
How was everything?
Right.
If you ride the bus, how was the bus ride? You know, if you have practice,
mm-hmm.
how was practice today? Like, some parents don't do that. And that's part of the check-in that I believe that the parents should do. That daily check-in to
Amen.
See exactly what's going on with
you
your kids.
You better believe that one.
When you
yeah.
stop
Amen.
Doing
show
that,
some
that's
some
when you
interest.
Show your kid to me.
Show some
right.
interest.
Yeah.
Some genuine interest.
Yeah. You got
in your
to.
Children. Show
you
some
got
interest.
To.
Show them that
mm-hmm.
you are diligent about what is going on in their
have
lives.
To be there.
Even
have
even
to
show discipline.
Them.
Even
and just show them that you love them. Like
mm-hmm.
I got
you know,
mad love
yeah.
for you. Like don't ever think that I don't love you or I'm not there for you. You got
mm-hmm.
to always be there for them. Like you can't
Amen.
Let something else
Amen.
Occupy your mind. You know, when it comes to your child, if you
huh.
see that your
uh-huh.
child is quieting down and they're not really into anything, like you say,
pay
sitting
attention.
Up in the room by themselves, it's a problem.
Pay
right.
attention
mm-hmm.
to those red flags. I always say pay attention
exactly.
to the red flags, whether you're in a friendship or relationship. You're pay attention to the red flags with your children and definitely have your eyes open because our kids matter. Their lives
right,
matter.
Right,
their
right.
sanity matters. Be there for them. As we
and
go
when they
to
go to
closing tonight,
somebody
yeah.
else to say this,
mm-hmm.
then,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they're begging you, please don't say that I said it, then
right.
that's really, that even hurts more because which way do I really turn?
Right.
right.
You know, you
mm-hmm.
hate to go to DHS, social service, whatever they call it, you know, you hate to go there, But if that kid is crying out, you have no other choice.
Yeah, what other choice?
Somebody needs
exactly,
that kid.
Exactly.
That's going to love him and be there for him.
1 minute left before the show is done with for tonight, and we definitely have some great topics. Thank you so much.
Great.
Yeah, some great advice and some words of wisdom, and I definitely myself will even take, you know, and think about what some of the things you Diva said tonight and apply to my household with my daughter and with my son and with people that I know and with people that I work with and pass it on. Each one. I'm so grateful for y'all. I love y'all.
I love you too.
I'm passing on the mic because I have to run, Divas. I love y'all. I'm passing the mic
on.
Love you too.
All right, with that being said.
With that being said, we'll definitely go to T first, T being our caller for this evening. Even though I want to point out that, you know, we do see the lines are definitely lit up. And we're excited, you know, that they're lit up. And we know that we definitely delivered a great show tonight. And, you know, always dealing with
That's
the kids
always.
And politics is always something, you know. So definitely
Everyone knows our kids are our future. And it takes a village to raise them. But we got to be the right village.
Right.
So if a kid is coming to you, I don't care what age they are. They could be 19, 20. If they having some type of fear or something is going on that they can't talk to nobody else but you, please take them up under your wing and raise them and let them know that, hey, you got somebody that love and care for you. You know, these shootings in the school, I don't really know what to say about that because you're going to have copycats constantly. And we're just going to have to keep praying and hope and pray that things don't, you know, keep escalating from one another's wrongdoings. You know, but let's keep our kids up under our wings. And regardless of whose kids they are, if they're calling out or reaching out to you, they need you for a reason.
Right. That's right. All right, T. Go ahead, girl.
Yeah.
All right.
Amen.
Auntie, you want to go? You want me to go?
I'll go because I have to go. we had a wonderful, wonderful show tonight. It was awesome. Like you said, very informative. Let's make this about the kids first, people. Money, all of that stuff can be replaced, but you can't replace people. You know, hopefully somebody will share this segment with the NRA, the National Rifles Association. And listen, y'all get on your job. Support our children. You know,
make it about them first.
Guns, please. Well, who needs them?
Right. Excellent.
Yes, indeed.
Excellent. All right, so I'll be quick. Of course, my final thought, of course, is, you know, anything to do with the kids, I just love it. You know, I love it. You know, I love talking about it. You know, I love what I do, and I love dealing with kids in general. It's just, I feel like that right there is like part of my purpose of understanding and, you know, being able to deal with them and no judgment. And I try to be, you know, I try to work for myself while I'm working on someone else, you know, so this way we're growing together because that's what it is. You know, you're never too old to learn anything, especially about parenting, because there's no handbook that says how to be a good parent, you know, but being an outsider looking in, you always just want to make sure that you try and reinforce the positive things in that kid's life. You want to try to make sure that you remind them that there is hope, you know, there's a reason for you living, you know, and with the grace of God, you did open your eyes up this morning, even though today might be harder than yesterday, you know, but you were able to open your eyes up this morning, and it wasn't by accident that you were able to do it. So finding the positive thing, I believe that it has to start with that. You know, you find the positive, and then you continue to help them grow with that when it comes down to that. I feel like another thing is when you deal with children in general, you want to make sure that you reassure them and show them the love and tell them you love them. And don't be so quick to discipline them, but also be quick to encourage them, to let them know that you do love them, you are there for them, you know, you want what's best for them. It's important. So, T, definitely praying for the situation that, you know, that you mentioned to us. The walkout today, I'm hoping and praying that everyone takes it serious and pays attention, that this is serious. It's something that's alive, well, it's national, it's going on, and educate your kids on what to do in case they are put into a situation like they were in Florida and a couple of other states as well. Let them know what to do as far as hiding, barricading the doors, you know, not trying to be the first person to jump out the window or whatever the case may be. You want to make sure you're involved in what's going on and just educate them. So, here on GQ Palace, of course, you guys know that we have a show on Monday, UAR Radio, Unsigned Radio, Artist Radio. We have that on Monday. Then on Tuesday, we do have Love Sensation. You know, please check us out, definitely. You know, you will definitely get your dance on, your soul jam on. And, you know, the artist is, of course, always happy of how we're promoting their music. And we keep it rotating. We keep it spinning on a weekly basis.
It's
and,
Florida,
of course,
baby.
On our Wednesday show, on our Wednesday show, of course, you have the Diva Squad Love Fantasy. With all three of the divas, and you know, we're definitely here, you know, we're definitely serious about what's going on. We take it serious, and as Rich Money says, GQ Palace is taking the world by storm. And then of course we do have our Friday show, which is where it all started for GQ Palace, which is Love and Entertainment with Rich Money and Storm myself. So all the same phone number, 646-716-6970. Check us out, we're around, we're here, and we're taking the world by storm. So with that being said, have a safe and blessed weekend, everybody.
Storm, please call me.
Platinum. I will. Good luck to Platinum Athletics this weekend. We'll be traveling, so praying for travel and mercy for us as we're hitting up in the sky and we find a way. But just making sure that, you know, we're good, you know, so we're praying for that, and we're praying that, you know, my handsome husband will be good to go as he's healing in his situation. So
yes,
have a blessed and safe weekend, everybody. And
yes,
we're out here.
Well.
I love you, lady.
God bless you.
Love you.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
Hello?
Hello? What's up?
Hey, where you been at?
I've been chilling, you know?
Well, I ain't heard from you.
Got some shit on my mind. I need to talk to you about it. I'm coming over.
Okay, I'm waiting.
Appreciate it all. Everybody's telling me You're gonna lose your good thing, and I ain't ready for that. So forgive me when I say. Trust me.